Bible, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. I figured you've forgotten all of this, so I'll start all over again. What can I tell you? Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for your personal involvement. Thank you for your word. Spirit of God, thank you for your... What would we do without you? Thank you very much. So honor our Lord and our Father. May you be glorified. And we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Remember in the Gospel of John, the last gospel was to be written by the last living apostle, and along with the book of Revelation, etc. And John covers the whole spectrum of Old Testament, New Testament, all of human history up to that point, where God is going to finish all that he's going to say, Revelation 22, until he comes. But in getting the handle, John is given an assignment to bring forth the understanding that God happens to be who he is, wonderfully who he is, always who he is. And all of history is about God. God seeking to communicate to men, human beings, boy and girl, man and woman, that he's God, and to save them. And God sent his Son to die on the cross to save everyone that would ever be humanly born. That's all of us. And in the Gospel of John, thus when he begins, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Sliding over to verse 14. And the Word, the one who was with God and was God, the Word was made flesh and blood, born in Bethlehem of Judea, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time, only the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom, the inwards of the Father, he hath declared him. And the ministry and purpose of our Lord Jesus Christ, being born in Bethlehem of Judea, is to bring forth an understanding of God, infinite, immortal, invisible God. How are we going to handle you, God? I'm going to make it clear. I've made it clear all the way down the line by word and prophet, power, might, signs, wonders. Now I'm going to come in myself, and I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you what it's all about. It's all about you, human beings, made in my image and likeness, to know me and honor me, to be able to experience me, to be able to enjoy me as a person. It's all about that. And I want you to know, so what are you going to say, John? John, it's all about your assignment, John, is to bring forth and make it clear in the light of the 3.5-year ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, to let it be known from your window, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, from your window, that he's God. So when you're writing and you're putting together these 3.5 years, we're going to have a glimpse of the reaction of the most people that would be most likely to receive and understand and know you, which would be the Israel, the Jew. We're going to put them forward and tell you how they responded to Christ God, the Lord Jesus Christ become flesh, walking among them. What was their reaction? And what are we to learn? Now, over to John chapter 8, where we are, have been. John chapter 8. And you'll remember after the Feast of Tabernacles, John chapter 7, etc. And all kinds of ways, they're trying to trick him, trap him. He's in the temple still after the Feast of Tabernacles. He's still there ministering every day. And thus in verse 20, these words spake Jesus in the treasury, that's in the court of the women, where all the 13 treasure boxes were, collection boxes. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. You can't touch him until it's time. No matter what you try to do, you could never get him. God said, not until my time. Now, in the light of that, verse 13, the Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. So we did that section, remember, but the point, it's the Pharisees are banging away trying to get him. They're trying to trap him, trick him, get some way to, some excuse to arrest him, to end up killing him if they could. Now, in the light of that, verse 13, the Pharisees therefore said unto him, and then he continues teaching, verse 21, Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come. So the Pharisees are going to engage our Lord in open conflict, publicly open conflict. They're going to challenge who he is. They're going to try to trick him, trap him. They're going to oppose him in every way they can. And they're going to try to get the Lord to say something, do something, say something in this case, to say something by his words that would condemn him. And all witnesses would be there to hear it. For the Lord to say that he was the Son of God, to say that he was the Son of God before many witnesses. Therefore, you could accuse him of blasphemy and arrest him and kill him. If you can get him to say he's the Son of God. So now hang on to that. That's their quest. So now, verse 21. God knows this. God knows all this. And this is going to be an encounter the Pharisees are going to have to think about. They had to think about long after this. So as they seek to trap him, the scribes and the Pharisees, in their unbelief, in their blindness to receive who he was, and they would not, John chapter 8 and verse 19, then said they unto him, where is thy father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my father. If you had known me, you should have known my father. So now, knowing who he was, and they knew who he was now, then no question, hang on to that because it's going to come up again. Over in chapter 5, again, in chapter 5, you would recall, remember now, the Pharisees and Sadducees are going to claim we don't know you. But they do know. And he holds them accountable for that. Now, chapter 5, verse 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. My Father and I work together in harmony. Therefore, did the Jews understand that? Absolutely. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Blasphemy, die. That's what they wanted. They knew. It'd be silly to say they've been knowing it all the way down. And remember, he's only got 6 months to go, a little less than that now, before he goes to the cross. So they got 3 years of listening. 3 years of going through this. There's no question they don't know. They do know. Now, picking up back in John chapter 8, and you'll pick up, please, and you want to keep in mind as we go here, that in the process, he continued to say all the way down the line. So as he speaks, he says something that is very, very outstanding to them, and they know it, but they don't know what to do with it except to get rid of him. So now, John chapter 8, I'm going to go just to, for this little bit. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light. I am the light. I am. And remember, we shared that last time or so. Exodus 3:14, Moses said, the people are going to ask, who sent me, who sent Moses to the people and to Pharaoh? What shall I say is your name? Because Moses, remember, at Mount Sinai, is introduced to God at the burning bush. Moses, I am that I am hath sent thee. Just say I am. I am, that's my name. I am always, forever, who I am. I can never be less than who I am. I can never be more than who I am. I am always who I am. That's my name. Now, I am the light. Ah, that's there. Now slide your eye over to verse 18. The beginning. I am one. There's your little noun and verb. I am. I am. He says, I am one that beareth witness. Verse 23. He said unto them, we are from the beneath, and I am, I am, I am from above. Verse 24. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for you shall, if you believe not that I am, I am, I am, I always who I am, and you need to believe that I am. And when he said I am, they understood that, because of all the things they should have known, they did know that Moses represented God, and the name of God, Messiah, the God, I am that I am. Ah, that tags him, that puts a label on him, and therefore, their failure to believe, they're not believing, and he warns them, that's what verse 21 is about. You guys are not believing who I am. Now, that's a stern, awful, awesome warning. Now, may I go, if I can, and verse 21 again, and again unto them, I go away, and you shall seek me. I'm going to go away, I'm present tense, I'm going away, and you shall seek me, going to seek me, you're going to be seeking me when I go away, and you shall seek me after I've gone. Religious leaders in the temple, everyone's looking, remember, and they're all concerned. Over to chapter 7 earlier, so you can see it. Chapter 7, verse 34, earlier. You shall seek me, there's your verb, shall not find me, and where I am, tithic, you cannot come. You cannot come where I'm going. Now back over, as time goes on, they're going to encounter him again. And he says, I go my way, and you shall seek me. You are going to seek me. Now, in the process of that, they're seeking him. And in the process of that, hang on to that. Let me just give you a little something to tie that. Hold your finger here. And over to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. Hold your finger in John 8. Matthew, chapter 7. May I pick up the Sermon on the Mount, in particular, the movement of thought, chapter 7, going to verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight, narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. In other words, a big wide road, lots of travelers. A narrow road, not many. Because straight, narrow is the gate, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Few that be there find it. They aren't going to find it. So the broad way, lots of people go down all kinds of religions, all kinds of stuff to try to handle God in our life. Like we shared in Sunday school, you can't do without Him. You wouldn't want to be alive, even atheists and agnostics in their gut. That's why I can do communism and all of it, because somehow in my gut, I know there's someone over all of this. I don't want to face up to it. I don't want to talk about it, but I know it. Because think how horrible it would be if you could truly, truly believe that you are an accident and that you are an overgrown leaf, a chemical reaction. That's why evolution, communism, that's why you can kill, they're killing them now. You'll never hear it. Millions of people, do you understand? Millions, not 10 people, millions of people. And we can do that because we understand you're nothing, just evolved. And if that's what I truly think, I have no problem shooting you up if that was necessary, because that's all you are. And that's all I am. Now, hang on to that. Over if you would, please. So it's broad as the way. Verse 22. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out demons, devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, here are the Pharisees. And they aren't going down the narrow road. And they think they're doing a whole lot for God, on behalf of God, and they're going to get rid of Christ, who seems to interfere with what they're trying to do and believe. And he was. And therefore, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and you shall die in your sins. And they could not be welcomed by the Father. They would not be welcomed by the Father. They will not find after him where he goes. After his resurrection, they're going to put him in the tomb. You aren't going to find me. You aren't going to go where I'm going. You'll never get to my Father. You're never going to find me after the resurrection. You're going to try, but no one's going to be able to find me. And when you are in trouble, there's no one going to be to rescue you if you leave me out of your thinking and life. There is no Savior. There is no God apart from me. And no one's going to save you. Do you understand, he said? Now, having said that, and you shall thus die in your sins. You are going to die in your sins. That's what you're going to do. Hang on to that. That's a sobering thing. He laid it right on the line in front of them. You're going to die in your sins with no help and no hope. Whether I go, you cannot come. You cannot come. You're unable to come where I'm going. And you're going to die in your sins. Over to chapter 13 just to see it again. Chapter 13 and in verse 33. You'll pick it up again. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me. As I said unto the Jews, I said them, we just read, I said unto the Jews, I said unto, we just read that. So he's referring back. You shall seek me, as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. So now I say it to you. I said it to them, I'm saying it to them. Now the difference is going to be that you're going to look and you're not going to find me, not going to be able to put it together for a little bit. They're not going to put it together for a lifetime. You're only going to be, after I resurrect and buried, you're going to say, where is he, where is he, where is he? Only for a little bit. But they have a lifetime. Now, if you would, in chapter 8, picking up again where I am going, where I am going, though the Jews, verse 21, then said Jesus again unto them, verse 22, excuse me, then said the Jews are speaking now, where is he going? Remember, where is he going? And then he said, where I'm going, you cannot come. Where I'm going. And in the process, verse 21, I'm going to go back to there for a second, where I am going. Now, that, if you take the language and understand that, what he was saying is, he's going to leave, here's the Pharisees all around him, etc., people. He's going to leave us in a voluntary way. He's going to disappear from us. He's going to leave us. And that translates down, he's going to kill himself. That's what he's going to do. He's going to commit suicide. And we can never follow him, because we know the sixth commandment is, thou shalt not kill or slash, no object, murder. Thou shalt not murder, no object, yourself. Suicide. Don't commit suicide. Don't do that. And if you commit suicide, what do the Jews know? If you commit suicide, you go to Gehenna, the lake of fire. That's the awful place. If you violate and break the sixth commandment, you'll end up in the lake of fire. Wow. Now hang on to that part, because that's going to come up in a minute. Now, in the light of that, then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Will he commit murder? Is he going to go? He's voluntarily going to depart. And since he's voluntarily going to depart from us and go, then he must be going, will he kill himself? Is that what he's going to do? Is that his solution, which is suicide? And they're mocking him. They aren't caring about his life or his anything. They don't care. There's no fear, no concern for him. They're mocking him. They're mocking him. Will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come. So here in their evil scorn, their mockery, their intent, they did not have a clue of what Christ's voluntary death meant. They didn't understand his going to the cross voluntarily. They just never got the hang of it. What death meant. Overview it again, you aren't far away. John chapter 10. And in John chapter 10, picking up, please, he's the shepherd of the sheep, etc. Verse 17, 10:17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. 18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And there was a division therefore again among the Jews for these sayings. They did not understand that he came, born in Bethlehem of Judea, to die on Calvary's cross. They just didn't get that. It just didn't sink in at all. He came to bear our sins in his own body on the tree, and they just didn't understand. So now, remember now, he's going to kill himself, suicide. Suicide is considered not the way to go, and thus you'd end up in Gehenna. Now he knew that. He knew what they were saying. He knew what they thought. Therefore, now, when you come, now he's going to answer them. Verse 23. And he said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. He said unto them, now they're saying he isn't who he is, and they don't understand at all where he came from or where he's going. So he's going to help them. They want to play sarcasm, mockery. He said, let me play the game with you. Let me tell you where you're from. You told me where I'm from. I'll tell you where you're from. Now, thus, he said unto them, verse 23, you are from beneath, below, lower, the lower realm. Remember Gehenna? You're from down below. You're from down below. That's where you come from. You're very earthly. He's going to say it again. Verse 23. I am from above, heavenly. You are of this world, the world system. I am not of this world system. Now, remember over in chapter 8, verse 44. Chapter 8 and verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, keeping that in mind, you are from beneath and you're part of the world system. You're part of it. I would remind you in Revelation 13, etc. Where does the Antichrist, is he from above or from beneath? Beneath. Where does all his resource of the Lord Jesus Christ? Resource heaven. Father, God the Father, and holy angels. Where are yours, the devil and the Antichrist? From beneath. From beneath. And where do you get all your resources? From the sea, from the earth. Everything, the demons and all of it, are all reckoned the lower. Christ is the higher. That's the difference. I'm from above, you're from beneath. Whole different realm. All together, something that is very sobering. Now, and thus, as he says that, and you shall die, one other place, will I think of it, while you're in John, over to chapter 16, on the positive end of it. We've got to do some positive here. John chapter 16. And in verse 28, remember, I'm from above and you're from below. And of many places, here's one of them. Chapter 16, verse 28. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and I go to the Father. I'm from above. Now, that's wonderful. Here we are. What about us? John chapter 17. John 17, the believing heart knows what? Verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Why? Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world, which we just read in John 8. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil one. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. They're not of the world. So God, when we come to know you as our personal Savior, we who were earthly become heavenly. That's correct. I changed the whole thing. You're physically born earthly. You're spiritually born from heaven. Heavenly. Now, We got to put it together. So hang on, if I can get there quickly, to put this together. Over, if you would please, John 8 and 24. John 8 and 24. Verse 20. I said therefore unto you guys, that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. You are going to die right now in your sins. Now, if you were a Pharisee, you were one of the people listening, you would have heard that you, standing in front of someone, our Lord, who certainly would have penetrated their heart and mind, because there's no way to be in front of them without that. Wow, you are going to die in your sins. How would you like to go down the corridor now, whatever time is left, and have in the back of your mind, you're going to die in your sins? Day's coming in the calendar, you're going to die. You'll die in your sins. What do you think of that? You will die in, how big, I got to stand there and say, are you going to say, well, I think I'm dying. You're going to die in your sins. Now, picking up on that, and remember now, I am, verse 24, if you believe that I am, you need to be believing. And it's third class, you may or may not believe. It's up to you whether you want to believe. If you don't believe that I am who I am, you shall die in your sins. That's how it's going to go. You're going to die in your sins. Over to John 3 for a moment. John chapter 3. And you'll see it in verse 18, the thought. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not, doesn't believe, is condemned already. Uh-huh. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He hasn't believed that I am, that I am. Verse 36 of chapter 3. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You're going to die in your sins. You're going to die, if you don't believe, you're going to die in your sins. And that's what I'm trying to help you understand. You guys are talking and trying to do all kinds of things, but you don't understand that right now your present state and standing before God is a sinner, and you're going to die in your sins because you have no Savior that you have trusted in. None whatsoever. You're not trusting in anyone. You're leaving me out. I am the only God, Isaiah. I am the only God and the only Savior. And you shall die in your sins. Now, verse 25. Then said they unto him, now here's the question that we hit in the beginning. Who are you? They know who he is. Come on. They know who he is. No question. Who are you? You see. Now, what are they after? They're after him again. If he would just say, I am God. I am the Son of God. That's all they're looking for. Would you just say who you are? Wouldn't you just say that? Would you dare say you're God? Let everyone hear it? And he already said it 100 times, all over the place, as it seems, and as it really happened. Wow. Who are you? We want you to say that. We're ready. We're ready now to listen. Who art thou? Present tense, who art thou? I am that I am, I am. And what is your objective, by the way? What is your objective? Chapter 8, verse 59. 8 and 59. Then took they up stones. I'll read verse 58 so you see it. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, most assuredly, assuredly, amen, amen. All of those words are there. I say unto you, before Abraham was, there it is, I am. And he got him. I am. All right, that's what we're looking for. And they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. What do you want to do? I want to get you to kill you. If you just say I am, well, I will say it, but I'm going to work it through for you to understand you're going to die in your sins. And therefore, verse 25, then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, saith unto them, even the same that said, that even in the beginning, that I said unto you, from the even the name that I said unto you from the beginning, in the beginning. Now, I said that to you in the beginning. I told you right up front who I am. Now it's true, this word beginning that you're looking at, the beginning, I am all over the place. In the beginning, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the ending. I'm the first and the last. I am the beginning. When he speaks to the church in Laodicea, I am the beginning. I am. But you aren't saying that here. No, I am the beginning. But I'm saying that because they can relate to when I'm talking to them. I'm answering their question. That's what you want to... I'm answering their question. I'm answering their query. Who are you? I'm going to answer it. You have known me from the beginning. All the way. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that what? Taketh away the sin of the world. All the way down in over three years, I've been telling you who I am. From the beginning. So you have a reason you're asking who am I. You know who I am. You know who I am. And in the process of that, I am who I am, who I say I am, I always am who I am. And now you want to place yourself with these Pharisees and people. And what would you hear when he said that? I'm going to read verse 23 and 24. He said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above, you are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for you, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. What was ringing in their ears? Those two things. You'll die in your sins. You are from beneath. And that's sitting. He just threw it right back at them. And they had to listen. Wow, he just said that about us. That's right. That's right. That's right. And I have told you all the time. And now you need to know. Well, we'll pick it up. You need to know that right now I'm trying to level with you guys straightway. You're going to die in your sins if you don't believe me. If you're just going to church, if you just get baptized, if you just get circumcised, if you just just love people and don't be too bad, none of that will save you. Zero. Only Christ saves you. A relationship to Christ. Apart from that, zero. I don't care how nice you are, good you are, and God bless you for being that. I'd rather have you be nice to me than kick me. Oh, stand there. John chapter 8, singing, ringing in their ears. Man, tough. Verse 26, I have many, and they had little excuse, remember. They had no way to question, no way to back off, no way to get out of it. Then, and you know what? They kept pursuing. You would think they would have slowed down, but they didn't stop at all. They're still in pursuit of his death, as we read in verse 59. Now, over if you would, please, in verse chapter 8, verse 26. I have many things to say and judge of you. So here's the... there's a lot of things I want to say to you guys. I've said what I said in verse 23, 25, 24, 23, 24, 25, etc. I have said what I've said unto you. I have many such things to judge of you. I have many such things. But I want you to know, but, antithesis, opposite. But I want you to know, opposite. I'm not going to say them now. I have many things to say of you Pharisees. You're standing there. I could tell you a whole lot more that you won't want to hear about what's going to happen. But I'm not going to say them now. I'm not going to do them now. On the contrary, why not? My Father's assignment was to give the word to the world of who I am. I'm continuing representing God the Father's will and word. And I'm not going to stop and talk to you now. It's worthless to spend time with you now. It's a waste of my time to tell you any more right now. It doesn't mean you aren't going to face up to stuff. You are. You bet. But not yet. because I'm going to finish my ministry, my assignment to bear witness to the world around about me. Now, so in the light of that, in verse 26, in the light of that which we have heard, verse 26, remember the end of verse 26, things which we have heard of him, and now go chapter 8, verse 27. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. They did not understand. They had no knowledge. They were not knowing. They had no knowledge of the Father. They had no understanding. And he didn't say to them, I am God. I am the Son of God. He said it other places, other times, but he didn't say that. He just said, I came to fulfill the word, all that my Father said. That is my assignment. That's what I'm going to do. And until it's your turn, again, Pharisees, I'm going to do what my Father has for me in my will on a given day and a given time. I'm going to do everything I'm supposed to do and say what I'm going to say, to whom I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it, no question. And thus, that's my assignment. So now, are you going to honor that assignment? Absolutely. Do you understand? Do they understand? No, they don't understand. They understand of the Father. They have a problem. They don't understand the Father. And if they don't understand the Father, back to verse 19, then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. If you knew me, you would know my Father. And you don't know me, and you can't possibly know my Father without knowing me. Verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know. Remember, they don't know. They don't know. They ought to know. All kinds of week after week for 3 years, you should know. You guys are the religious leaders. If anyone should be paying attention what's going on with the crowd, you do. And they did. No question. So in verse 28, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, when you have lifted up, then shall you know that, and there's your little thing, then shall you know that I am He. Verse 28, then shall you know that I am He. All the time I've been telling you, you don't want to believe it, and you're going to die in your sins. When I'm lifted up on Calvary's cross, you are going to know I am who I am. Even the soldier is going to say at the cross who did it, of a truth, He is the Son of God, of a truth. Wow. Now, keeping that little bit in mind, if you would, and I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. That's what I do. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. So God, you have a unique, wonderful relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ in a most wonderful and remarkable way. Now, in the light of that, verse 28, verse 29. God, what do you do? God the Father sent me. He sent me. God the Father is always with me. I'm never alone. My Father is always with me. And because I do those things, always those things that please Him. And remember on prayer meeting, as we've been doing it, in Luke 2:49 and that, He said at 12 years old, I must be about my Father's things, business. And here we are, believers, and our job is to represent the living, our Father. Father, your business. Not my business. I do all my business, but all of it is subject to your business. The battles, the burdens, the blessings, God, they're yours. It's your business. You may belong to Pratt & Whitney or Joe Doak's sweatshop, but that's all going to disappear. You're a servant, a son in the business of the Father. That's why you're here, as believers. That's why we're here as an assembled body of believers, to represent Him in a most unique and wonderful way, to please Him. That's our assignment. And thus, you're going to die in your sins. You're going to die in your sins. Will you? Is the question. Will you die in your sins? Ah, what a question. Now, in the light of that, would you go over me, please, over to Ephesians chapter 1. Are you going to die in your sins? That's an awesome thought. And remember, when you're all done, I'm trying to think of whatever religion you want, Buddhism, pantheism, whatever you want, Hinduism, whatever others, locally, all of them, what are you going to do? Well, if we just do thus and thus and thus, it'll shorten our time somewhere. And we're guilty, and we've no way to get out of it. We're going to pay the price. You're going to die in your sins then. Uh-huh. So is religion going to help you? No, it isn't really. Is it intent? No, it isn't. It's just I hope somehow it will be better than what I think it is. Other than what I think it is. Other than what I deserve. So I'm hoping that maybe it won't be like God said. It'll be other than God said. Like the religious people tell us. The religious things we do. That'll help us. Ah. Ephesians. No, God, that wasn't what you're trying. You need to believe. If you believe, you may or may not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will not die. You will not die in your sins. And the reason Christ died for the sins of the world, no question. He bare our sins in His own body on the tree. He became sin for us who knew no sin. God, you did that. That's right. I am that I am. I'm trying to tell the Pharisees that I am. If they don't believe me, they're going to die in their sins. They need me. But how about other things? What about a little this and nope, just me. Just me. Without me, you're going to die in your sins. So now, in Ephesians, again, God, in Ephesians 1, God, what have you done for us? Well, you've done something wonderful. You've gone and saved us. Verse 2, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So God, you've done a wonderful thing to the believing heart that you're going to save them. And here in Ephesians, just picking up the part of it anyway, in verse 5, having predestinated us to mark out ahead of time, for what reason? The adoption to be placed as children, as sons, by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, highly favored, the word accepted, highly favored in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. God, You have forgiven all my sin. That's right. Otherwise, I couldn't save you. If I didn't die for all your sins, I didn't even die part of your sins. And then you'll have to have some other solution for the rest of your sins. But you don't need another solution. I died for all of them. The only sin you have to deal with is the sin of unbelief. John 16 and 8 and 9. If you don't believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. If you don't believe me, you will die. I am the solution. I am the Savior. So that we're able to say, we got a lot of problems, and God, you have to help us. And in closing, over to chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, remember. God, it's a wonderful thing to have our sins forgiven. They're all forgiven. All forgiven. All of the sins of next week, are they forgiven? All of the sins of next year, if you live that long, are they forgiven? Have to be. But the problems can be many. As a forgiven sinner, you can have a lot of problems. And the way, one way to get out of them that God has prescribed. Chapter 4, verse 32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. That's the word, forgiving, dropping the charge, etc., etc. Even as God, even at the standard, what's the standard for my forgiving people? Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, I want you to go home and take a piece of paper and write down how many times God has covered, cleansed, forgiven every word, thought, and deed. And if you're 20 years old, you got 20 years worth. If you're 40 years old, you got 40 years worth. If you're 100 years old, you got 100 years worth. Now you'll probably need more than one sheet of paper. And you go and take that sheet and start it. And then turn around. And when you hold, don't forgive others. I don't mean you're excusing them, you're forgiving them. So that's all over. If you don't do that, then what you're doing is saying, I'm working by my standard, and you need to forgive me as I said. I don't need to forgive anybody. God needs to forgive me, as it were. And then when I am forgiven and enjoying being forgiven, I understand I, from head to toe, am forgiven. There's nothing anyone's ever, 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 ever going to say to me or do to me that comes even close to how much God you are forgiving me. They could never, never compete with the sin of my own heart, ever. And therefore, I have nothing against anybody. It doesn't mean everyone's super duper. It just means I don't hold anything against you. I can't. In the light of God's forgiveness of me, there's no way on earth you could ever, ever compete with God's forgiving me, and I have to forgive you. It couldn't compete. That's a wonderful thing. And we're going to catch it in Romans, John, if we get there. And the truth shall set you what? Free. Do you understand? Do you know what freedom is? Freedom. Being forgiven. I mean, all the way. See, I could open up. I can't open up because the gadget will come out. Open up. See. Open up. Listen. Any way you want to go. I'm worse than you'll ever know. I'm terrible. I'm lousy. I don't have anything to cover. Anything you want to uncover, uncover it. God already has taken care of it. And you couldn't touch the pile. It's too big. You'll have to get a big crane to get it all. Do you understand? I'm free. Are you? Are you free? Forgiven. Forgiven. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and God, who are we anyway? Thank you, thank you, thank you. God, thank you for that you are sternly, rightly put it on the line. You will die in your sins if you don't believe. God, it's a wonderful thing to be saved. It's a wonderful thing to have a Savior. It's a wonderful thing to be forgiven. It's a wonderful thing to be able to have eternal life this instant in the person of Christ in my heart, in our hearts, and that our sins are forgiven, and we will not die in our sins at all. We will die in your wonderful person. Thank you very much. And we can't die in your person. We find our death in your person, and we on the cross, and we find our life. Thank you very, very much for loving us, for caring. Thank you, thank you. In Christ's name, amen. And perhaps we could sing, please, if you would.